It's the True Penny Show at the G1 for Wrestle Talk TV.
Hello and welcome to the True Penny Show. My name is James True Penny. This is my show, and once again we are back at the G1 Climax Tournament for our third week roundup of the matches that have gone on there. My guest today, returning for his second appearance on the G1 roundup, would you please welcome Mr. Alex Edwards of Wrestle Talk TV.
Hello, how's it going?
And also today we have the resident TNA and WWE expert of WrestleTalk.tv, Mr. Marcus Green. How are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. Really cool to be back. I said I was going to fit in here somewhere. So.
We had to have you in on this, Marcus. Your voice is too authoritative not to be around. Okay, we'll have a message from our sponsors and we'll be back with you in a second.
WrestlePlus.com is the brand new home of incredible online wrestling content featuring uncensored shoot interview classics, full series of WrestleTalk TV and British Wrestling Weekly, exclusive documentaries, British wrestling's biggest names before they were stars, an incredible podcast collection, up to 90% off merchandise offers, and the brand new Power Slammed e-magazine forwarded by Finn Martin himself. WrestlePlus has thousands of hours of content with new and exclusive releases added regularly. You can join today for the stupidly low price of just £4.99 a month. Wrestle Plus, because this is wrestling.
Welcome back to our G1 coverage. We hope you've been enjoying the show. We've had a lot of very positive feedback, so we appreciate that. Please do rate us on iTunes and drop comments on the SoundCloud and pass us around Twitter and various social media outlets. We do like more people listening to us. It kind of makes us feel like it's all worthwhile. But really, it's a bunch of us having a chat about wrestling, which is what this show has always been about. So today we're going to start with the 30th July show, which was in Aichi Prefectural Gymnasium in front of about 5,500 fans. And this was arguably the match, well, show of the tournament so far. It was a Block B night and it opened on the with the G1 matches. For those of you who want information about the tag matches, we really don't have time to talk about the tag matches, so we just stick to the tournament stuff. Was Tori Yano and Tomoka Honma. Now, it's about a week since I watched this because it was a long while ago. But I remember this being quite a fun match to watch. Mr. Alex Edwards, what are your thoughts on this particular little fun piece of 4 minutes of Honma Yanoism?
I'd have to agree. I think Yano has been fantastic in this tournament so far. If you look at it as sort of the G1 being the best, like the most hard-hitting, best wrestling matches of the year, every year, Yano is that guy that sort of brings a bit of sort of lighthearted relief to it. Yeah. And I guess you could see him as sort of like, not a night off, but sort of a night doing something a bit less sort of taxing on the body and doing a bit more fun. And this match was just that. Yeah, I thought it was really well done. And there were the spot that ended it, I thought was really nice, with sort of Honma outsmarting Yano, moving out of the way of the low blow that he knew would be coming, but then Yano, being the genius he is, manages to get him back for it again, hits him with it, and yeah, gets the win.
Yeah, I think that's a nice roundup of a fun match. Marcus, what are your thoughts on Tori Yano? Because me and you have never spoken about Tori Yano, and it'd be interesting to see what your opinion of him is.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's definitely more one of those lighthearted guys in terms of when it comes to this type of setting. But I think this tournament, more than even last year, is kind of, you know, the guys you don't expect to really do much are really shining. So I never really looked at Yano before, even though I knew he was talented. He's kind of just kind of been on the outskirts at times, mostly on the tag matches, which I kind of shift through from time to time. But he's looking real good in this match, and Honma, just, you know, very much relying on that headbutt and stuff.
We'll move on to Block B. And if it sounds like we're kind of rushing through a few of these things, we probably slow down as we go along when we get to the interesting stuff. But we have got a lot of matches to talk about, around about 20.
Matches.
Yeah, so this is, we kind of like pick up the pace. But this one was really good. Yoshihashi defeated Evil in 12 minutes, 48 seconds. Yoshihashi's had quite a good tournament and is getting quite a lot of following from the fans of New Japan. And Evil is being evil, for want of a better phrase. And as our co-host Alex Watts said, he's just evil. That's it. Marcus, what are your thoughts on this particular bout?
I thought it was great. I thought this wasn't as familiar with Hashi coming into this whole thing, but he's had a great showing. And like you said, Evil has just been evil. throughout this whole time. But it was a great match. A lot of great near falls and submission spots and stuff like that. And Evil is very unique with the crowd, so that makes it an extreme for me. But this was probably one of the best matches of the night.
What about you, Alex?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I really enjoyed this. I think both guys here have had, I mean, we'll get into the later matches they've had, but overall they've had great tournaments, both of them. And Evil especially, I've become such a huge fan of Evil throughout this tournament. Sort of before this, I didn't really rate him that much, but
yeah, no.
He's been great. And this match was really, really good. Just a lot of near falls, a lot of hard hitting stuff. There was a particular bit with Evil hitting a super kick, then a sort of kick to the chest and a lariat in sort of a big combination that I thought was really cool. And just really, really good stuff.
I think he's worked really hard to kind of like get his character over, which is an unusual character for a Japanese wrestling promotion. And I think a lot of the time he's spent in Ring of Honor has been very well spent. Marcus, you've followed Ring of Honor a lot. How has he changed since his time in Ring of Honor?
I mean, like you said, I think it's kind of like the overall character. Like, it's interesting seeing guys go from Ring of Honor to New Japan, because it's like they, you know, kind of get reinvigorated, almost like the New Japan knows how to kind of use him better, if you will, which we'll get to Elgin later, but he's another one. But yeah, it's interesting because they kind of tone back on their overall presentation in terms of them being over the top and things, and it ends up working out for them better. Maybe it's because of the crowd, but you know, kind of tone back on it in terms of presentation outside the ring, and inside the ring they turn it up, and it just meshes better for some reason. So yeah, I think he's kind of like a 180 from where he was in Ring of Honor for me.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Moving on to the next match of the night, Katsushika Nakajima defeated Yuji Nagata quite surprisingly in 12 minutes and 32 seconds. The NOAH representative putting in a stunning performance. I really enjoyed this. This was fantastic, and it's just shown how much Nakajima has raised his game to the expectations of being a G1 wrestler. He has done incredibly well. I'm very, very pleased with his progress in this tournament. Alex, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. He's not really someone I'd seen much of before this tournament. So going in, I didn't really know what to expect. But no, he's been really consistent and really good throughout. He's been playing this sort of, I guess, sort of like an outsider, sort of heelish character throughout it, which I think has been interesting, sort of mixed in there with all these sort of constant New Japan guys. And yeah, I just thought, good match. Nagata playing the sort of angry dad, just sort of slapping the piss out of him, was great. And yeah, just sort of this old generation versus new generation story they told, I thought worked really well.
Yeah, I think also it is like Nakajima is very much like the new version of Nagata, in that he's, you know, a very martial arts kick orientated offense. He's playing that card really, really well. And certainly when he's going up against guys of a similar kind of streak, it's been very interesting to watch their reactions and his reactions to them. Marcus, what did you think of this one?
It's another classic, you know, New Japan match for me, because when I was watching it, if my leg wasn't sore watching it, my face was. So it was very interesting. I think very much agree with you. Like you said, they're kind of older generation versus newer generation in terms of their, you know, styles and kind of Nagajima being that today's version of Nagata. So it's like, man, it was great. Like, it was so hard hitting, and normally I'm not too big a fan of those matches, but it was so, the way they did it, it just made it even better from then, the slaps and then the submission holds. So it's like,
Jesus Christ, the slaps.
Yeah, the slaps. It was just, you know, they forced you to love it. So
yeah, we should do, like, I want to do a show on the evolution of the slap in pro wrestling, because it only really became popular in like mid-90s because of like the shoot promotions. I want to do a show on the evolution of the slap, but that's for a later date, post G1, and we've got loads to look at in the G1. So let's move on to Michael Elgin versus Kenny Omega, another Block B match. 8.9 from the Cage Match inmates. Our friends over at Cage Match there do a popular rating of each match on each show, and Michael Elgin and Kenny Omega had one of the highest rating matches on this show and highest rated matches in the tournament. Elgin takes the win and brings himself up to 4 points and ties with Omega. Elgin has had quite the tournament. He's had some good matches with some really cool people, and he's so incredibly over. Marcus, you wanted to talk about his reinvention here in New Japan.
Yeah, I think just listening to the pod you guys did on week two, Elgin's really kind of been finding that groove in terms of his overall basically reinvigoration with the tournament. Obviously, he got eyes on himself in last year's tournament, and I don't want to say he's done everything you can do in always, but it feels like that. So him coming to New Japan has been really refreshing. I think he's been reinvigorated overall in terms of his, style and, getting challenged by these guys, these high-level talent guys. I think that's just made him turn up his game, even with the arm being taped up, which seems to be a running theme in this overall tournament this year. So, these two guys are just great, and it's been really cool to see Elgin get some much-needed spotlight on himself, and Omega is just one of the best things going personally for me right now. So,
there you go. High praise. Alex, what did you think of this All-Gaijin matchup?
See, I'm going to come down on sort of the other side of things. I don't know what it is with Michael Elgin, but there's something about him that I just don't like. I don't know. I can't explain it, but when I see him, I just don't like him. And this match, especially the way it started with just sort of Yujiro interfering and then brawling around to the crowd, and I was just like, what is this? it was a bit tiring to see. I don't know. But once it got into it, it did get better. Once it got a bit more serious, like Elgin hit a spinning back fist at one point, which sort of leveled Kenny, and it was really brutal. And the finish as well, just two like massive lariats and a big power bomb, I thought were good. But yeah, I don't know. There were just, maybe it's because of the matches they have in the past, especially that ladder match
The
other month, which just was not that great. I don't know. Just something about this match, I couldn't really get into it. Even though sort of technically I could see it was good, I just sort of couldn't get into it.
No, I understand. I don't understand why you'd have that thought. I think also it suffers because it's a different kind of match in the matches that were on that particular night. So you've got like Yoshihashi and Evil, and that's very much a New Japan style match, even though it's character led. Nakajima Nagata is very, very kind of strong style, shoot style match, and then you've got these two, and it doesn't, maybe a little too serious to. Maybe they should have played it for laughs a little bit more to put some relief in there, but I understand what you're saying. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was better than the ladder match they had, but then again, I thought most things have been better than the ladder match they had.
Yeah, that's not really that hard.
No. I think it's just us on the Troopany show, by the way. Every guest on the Troopany show has said that ladder match wasn't that good. Everyone else thinks it's brilliant. Go figure. Anyway. Yes, we'll move on to the main event for that evening, which is Katsuyuta Shibata defeating Tetsuya Naito in 19 minutes and 24 seconds in a bit of an epic match. I really enjoyed this. Shibata raising it up a level against Naito. Naito still bubbling under as that main event threat that really should come back at Okada fairly soon after this tournament. Of course, the winner of the G1 gets a shot at Wrestle Kingdom in the Tokyo Dome on January the 4th, so the IWGP Heavyweight Championship is usually put on hold after the G1 Climax Finals. So you're really getting a good long see of what's going to happen for the rest of the year. And the other titles, the Intercontinental Championship, Michael Elbin currently holds, and the NEVER Openweight Championship, Katsuyori Shibata, really get time to shine in the later part of the year. So Shibata's win over Naito really kind of gives him a lot of momentum going into the rest of the year. Alex, what were your thoughts on this?
This match was great. I think this may be up there among my favourite of the entire tournament up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing stuff. Naito, I'm going to make you get the censor out here, but Naito's sort of shit-eating grin is just, it's one of the best in the business at the moment. He plays such a great, just like, douchey heel, just sort of mocking Shibata throughout it. And then the switch when Shibata is sort of like, right, I've had enough of this now, and so I'm just going to kick you and I'm going to knock you out. And yeah, I thought it was fantastic, fantastic match.
Marcus, what are your thoughts after that glowing level of praise?
Yeah, much the same. This I got to agree, with Alex. I mean, I think Shibata's kind of like really banged up. So, but that didn't really slow him down, and like you said, Naito was just he's a smug SOB, and that works for him in the best way. So, you know, I think the match was great. I think it told great psychology with him going after the injured parts and that part at the end, locking the sleeper and everything. It was just great. So,
yeah, I agree with you. I think they've worked really, really hard to make this match work, and it really stole the show on a show that had really a lot of great matches on it. It was really well put together, and I was really, really impressed with this. So I think well done to both of them. Like I said, I think it sets them both up for later in the year as they go through this tournament. So we'll see what happens. Sorry, Alex.
I was just going to say, you brought up the IWGP title. Do you think in sort of, maybe not next year, but maybe the year after, we could be seeing this match as the sort of headlining match for the IWGP heavyweight title?
I would like to think so. I think Shibata served his time from his departure from New Japan. For those of you who don't know, if you followed the Tripani show, you'll know that Shibata left New Japan a long time ago, 8 or 9 years ago, to go wrestle for a rival promotion and to start in MMA, and only came back 3 or 4 years ago to New Japan Pro Wrestling and was considered a bit of an outcast and an outsider. And has kind of had to earn his stripes, certainly, you know, with Tanahashi and Shinsuke Nakamura not particularly liking his attitude to the wrestling business. He certainly did have to take a back seat. But now with only Tanahashi there, and he's kind of softened to Shibata somewhat, I think, by the things that we hear, then I think Shibata really could take his place as that third musketeer they hoped for all those years ago.
Cool. Yeah, it's definitely something I'd like to see.
We'll see.
Especially after seeing this match here.
Yeah, I think so. There's no end. There's so many matches that I've seen this week that I've just been like, oh, I want to see this again, like for months on end. This will be amazing. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And Marcus is right. Shoulder injuries have been ripe during this tournament. I think I can't remember how many wrestlers I saw with taped up shoulders. So we'll see if they're all fit for the rest of the tournament as they go through. But people are starting to show signs of wear and tear and getting banged up now as they go into a break this weekend, but a day off today, or day off tomorrow.
A lot of ice baths going, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So we move back on to night 9, which was at Gifu Industrial Hall. Pretty good attendance, 2,581, and this was on the 31st of July. The first match was Tama Tonga versus Tomohiro Ishii, 11 minutes. I didn't think this was too bad. I thought this was quite good, really. Tonga continues to impress with his fast-moving offense. Not maybe the best guy to show it against Ishii, but he takes a win of Tomohiro Ishii, so that's really important to Tonga's tournament because that puts him level with Ishii, and also a big win over a long-time veteran. Marcus, what are your thoughts?
I liked it. I think Tonga's been, like I said before, one of them surprises in this tournament. Probably could turn it, definitely could turn it up more, especially against a guy like Ishii, who was just in your face smash mouth style. But it was cool seeing that contrast of styles with Tonga's agility and everything, and I think he went after the ribs, which was cool because you got to break a guy like Ishii down some kind of way. So he picked up the win in the end, and really relying on that gun stun. So yeah, I liked it. I thought it was, you know, good, and especially for, you know, opener with these matches, I thought it was cool.
Yeah, much the same. I think Tama Tonga has sort of been quietly having a pretty good tournament so far.
Yeah.
His matches, especially with Tanahashi and Okada earlier on, I thought were really good. And this was another one that, yeah, it was a good match, and yeah, good to see him get a win.
I think we, last week, me, Alex, and Chelsea were kind of like, Tama Tonga's not really got there yet, but he's improving. And I think this week he's got there. You know, he's certainly on the right path, and he's had some good performances. Of course, it helps when you win a couple. You know, and I think up until that point, he hadn't really done much and got much into the win column. So I think he's done well, really. After that, Bad Luck Fale and Sanada, which was a match I didn't think necessarily would go that well, just because Bad Luck Fale and Sanada, it's the same thing I talked about last week. Fale sometimes doesn't quite get there with the guys who are a lot smaller than he is, and it didn't quite gel perhaps as well as it could have done in this match, but it did okay. And Sanada, again, just impresses me with every match I see him in. His presence, his timing, his facial expression, or lack of facial expressions, I should say, are exemplary. So I'm really impressed here. Alex, what did you think of this match?
Yeah, I think the main thing I took away from this match was that I think sometime in the future, Sanada could make a really good babyface. Just sort of, he played that sort of slight underdog here, which I thought worked. he's improved so much since he was in TNA. It's like, I said it the first show we did. I can't believe he's the same guy that we saw back there. So good match. Good to see Sanada doing well and sort of evolving his character a little bit. And I'm going to give Fale a bit of a nickname here, but I think the mathematician, just sort of evening up those point totals, getting a win where it's needed, just to sort of make overall totals work out.
Well, speaking of TNA, our resident TNA expert, Marcus, what are your thoughts on Sanada? Because we haven't talked about him together since he was in TNA. So what's your thoughts on him since he moved and the big heel turn?
Yeah, it's like night and day for me. Much like Alex, it's very, it's weird seeing him like this, but it's refreshing because this is completely, great stuff coming from him. And I think, again, he's another guy who's really benefited from this tournament, really upped his game in a lot of ways. And even though this wasn't, exactly a 5-star match or anything, I think it really, just showed more improvement from him. And as far as Fale, he's kind of he's an interesting guy because, like you said, it's always interesting seeing how exactly he's going to work with smaller guys. And sometimes it comes off like, guys trying to take down a tree, essentially.
Yeah.
But, Fale definitely has his moments, and obviously he nabbed a win. So, like Alex said, evening up those point totals. So, I think it was another, quality showing for Sanada for me, just from a, like you said, that underdog perspective. So, I think both guys benefited.
Okay, then moving on to the next match, which is Nomachi Marufuji, who defeated Toga Makabe, who was the group leader at the time. Marufuji on 6 points, Makabe on 8 points. Marufuji has been awesome in this tournament. I think he realizes his position on the Noah card is secure, and he's kind of let loose and done some interesting and very cool things with Makabe and everyone he's been in the tournament with. Maybe not as good as the match he had with Okada on the first night and the other matches, but again, Makabe is sometimes a bit tricky to get a decent match out of, and I've been very impressed with him. I've been impressed with Makabe as well, but not as much as Marufuji. Marufuji's been awesome. That's my particular take on this match. Marcus, what did you think here?
Yeah, classic kind of, power versus speed, and like you said, Makabe is kind of sometimes a guy that's really difficult to necessarily, get that variety show out of sometimes, but I think it was pretty decent here, and like you said, Marufuji's been, kind of fantastic throughout this tournament, especially, definitely in the A block. So definitely some good chops and amazing kicks. Marufuji, pulled out the win and, kind of really staying strong.
But if you remember back again to that first show we did, I said that I wasn't really a fan of Makabe, and I didn't understand why he was getting so many wins.
Yeah.
And so I was very happy to see the winning streak end here and Marufuji pick up a win. Yeah, like you said, Marufuji's been great in this tournament so far. Just his kicks, his strikes, just everything he's done has been great. I think his vaulting sort of press to the outside is it's one of the most graceful I've ever seen of that move. I think he's been fantastic, and I was glad that he won.
Cool. Not on the Makabe train yet, then?
No, still not there.
Still at the station. Okay. All right, then we'll move on to Kazuchika Okada, IWGP Heavyweight Champion, defeated Hiroshi Tenzan in another cage match, inmates recommended match, 12 minutes and 30 seconds. The ace defeats the veteran who's trying to get his swing back, as it were, and make his way all the way through the G1, which is looking less and less likely as the tournament goes on, sadly. But 8-4, it was looking likely that Okada would win it from a favourite's point of view. But a good match, all the same. Tenzan has been, for a guy who's 48 years old, he's been doing some incredible things. Just incredible things. And he looks 20 years younger. So all power to him. And it's a shame maybe that they should have kind of like made this a little more surprising towards the end of the tournament, but we've still got a couple of weeks to go, so we don't know what's going to happen. Alex, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a really, really good match. The crowd at the start, when they were sort of standing off, was so, so hot. Tenzan has been fantastic, much like I've said a lot about a lot of other guys, but Tenzan's been really good. It's just so nice to see him motivate and sort of fired up for something for once, rather than sort of stuck in those sort of opening match tags and stuff like that. He's been great, and this was a really, really good match.
Marcus?
Yeah, much of the same. Obviously, I'm more familiar with Okada than I am Tenzin, but just looking at straight from the tournament perspective, he's been fantastic. I think this is kind of like that last hoorah run, which has been, if I'm not mistaken, which has been one of the greatest stories, you know, in this tournament and working against him. I think anybody's kind of gonna be a heel. So yeah. It was interesting seeing, you know, Okada, you know, back in that role, and with the headbutts and stuff was great. I thought all the moves and stuff was great, and seeing Okada kind of, you know, come back in the end, that was cool. Although it still would have been, you know, really cool to see Tenzin get the win. But I thought it was cool. I thought it was a great match to one before the main event, and yeah, Tenzin's just been, you know, great. The crowd's been loving every minute of him. So.
Actually, it just reminded me of a match, and it actually reminded me of how Okada, in his ace-like awesomeness, there was a match back in the late 90s between Hiroshi Tenzan and Nature Boy Ric Flair, which is well worth looking at. It was on the tour when the Muta scale was invented, and he wrestled Muta, and he wrestled Chono, and he wrestled Tenzan, and a couple of other big names. The idea was that Flair came over to do some rub, as it were, on the New Japan roster, and there was a match with Tenzan that was really, really enjoyable. You should go have a look at that. But that's just a Tenzan when he was back and about, well, not that much lighter. He was still pretty big back then, but he could move a lot quicker than he can do now, obviously. Anyway, yeah. Moving on to main event for the evening, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Hiroki Goto in 15 minutes and 47 seconds was your main event. Tanahashi takes the win in an okay match. Not particularly great, but then again, it's Tanahashi and Goto, so it's always going to be fairly good, but maybe not as good as it could have been. Marcus, your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think it's not a show-stealing match, you know, an stretch of imagination, but, you know, these two interesting characters, and Tanahashi's kind of had another, you know, kind of cool story throughout the whole thing. Was, you know, kind of can he get back in that groove? And then we got, you know, basically Goto trying to dismantle him for the, you know, first 15 minutes and everything, but, you know, Tana stuck to his game with the high fly flows and kind of pulled out the win. It's always interesting watching Goto. Just for me, I think the reason why I gravitate towards him, because he puts forward the effort in terms of his look,
yeah,
and overall presentation when he comes to the ring and stuff like that, even if, you know, a lot of you don't get anything else from him. You know, I like that about him. So, you know, two cool guys, and I thought it was a real solid match.
Alex, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, I went into this one sort of feeling pretty down on Goto. Like, he's just been a bit sort of lost for a while now. And this match, yeah, it was solid. It was a good match, but it wasn't anything sort of mind-blowing. I guess it's cool to see Tanahashi sort of making the comeback after his sort of losing streak at the start of the tournament. But yeah, it was okay.
Okay, right then, we'll move on to night 10, which means we've commentated between the five of us on 20 wrestling matches so far. No, 50 wrestling matches so far between five of us.
Anyway, more impressive.
Yes, that's a bit more like it. So the night 10 was opened with Yoshihashi versus Nakajima, 12 minutes and 2 seconds. Yoshihashi takes the win. Not bad. Again, Nakajima showing his presence and making his presence felt. Yoshihashi, again, crowd favorite. The guy's really popular with the regular New Japan fans. This card came from Takamatsu, so he's really kind of like cementing himself as that upper echelon mid-card player. 6-6, the things are tightening up in Block B at this particular point. Alex, what do you think of this particular match, and how far Yoshihashi had come at this point?
Yeah, I thought it was a good match, and as far as Yoshihashi goes, I'm kind of surprised that he's doing so well. I thought he'd be like Honma's been in sort of recent years, where he'd maybe get one win towards the end, but otherwise it'd just be lose. And he's been doing actually a lot better. He's at this point he's got 3 wins, and yeah, he's doing a lot better than I expected.
Marcus, what are your thoughts on this particular kind of youngsters matchup, really? I mean, Nakajima's a youngster. You know, Yoshihashi's been around a while, but what do you think of this particular matchup?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Again, another match where we kind of see, very much the target of the shoulder was, you know, the Hill to Tape shoulder being a target, but, you know, very much fought back and things. And he's really been, you know, Hashi's really been getting, I guess, a push, if you will, in this tournament. And I think he's been kind of showing why. And then, you know, like you said, this kind of was a more younger man's match. And I thought it was cool, a solid opener. And, yeah, you know, it obviously going to have wear and tear on you throughout this whole, you know, it's more of a marathon than a sprint. But, you know, I think even with that, you know, they show great psychology in the whole comeback, and I like it.
Good. I agree with it. I think, you know, this was a good match, and I like the way these two guys are working at the moment in the tournament in general. We'll move on, though, to Michael Elgin, who defeated Yuji Nagata in 10 minutes and 35 seconds. This left them both on 6 points each in Block B. Marcus, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is one time, you know, kind of feel like Elgin almost kind of ran into a wall. I guess he thought he was coming into it. He might have been able to use his natural power game, and, you know, kind of get it out the way. But, you know, Nagata's just not that guy. And yeah, he just he brought it to Big Mike. So, you know, again, going after the arm, which is always a smart thing to do. But, you know, Big Mike always find a way, you know, and came back with that buckle bomb and everything. But I thought this was a great, good challenge for, you know, somebody like Elgin, who, you again, big, thick, heavy guy. And he's versatile in his moves, but he kind of steers more towards that power game. And he'll get arrow if he needs to, but more sticks to that power game. So I thought it was a great, you know, contrast in style. And, you know, Nagata's that wily veteran. So it was definitely a cool contrast match for me.
Alex, what are your thoughts on this particular set two?
Well, this was just a bit stiff, wasn't it? Just sort of
yeah,
just hitting each other so hard. Yeah, I mean, just a little observation. I noticed on Nagata's back and sort of shoulders during this, he had these, like, I guess,
yeah,
bruises at the top. They looked like he'd been pelted with tennis balls or something. Do you have any idea what that was about?
I think Yano had some as well. I think they're... I know that they have, like, these plasters, like, that help with point stress. Because, and I know this because Antonio Inoki and Akira Maeda used to wear them in the 80s. And they slowly evolved. So I think it's possibly, like, acupressure stuff, or it's, like, actual plasters that help with, like, joint strains and things like that. And especially like, the older veterans who were around in that, the UWF, UWFI shoot era, like Nagata was just at the tail end of that. I think they may be kind of believing them still and still use them from time to time.
Okay, yeah, because I saw it and I thought they were those massive bruises. Like, geez, he's really sort of taking it so far in this tournament, but no, I guess not.
Yeah, I don't know. If anyone does, then please let us know, because it's one thing I've wondered about. And I don't know anyone who would know off the top of my head. So
fair enough.
I could ask David Finley, because he always seems to answer questions nicely. So I'll see him and ask David Finley on Twitter this week.
Cool. We'll come back with a report next time. but yeah, this match was good match, hard hitting, and yeah, good stuff.
Okay then.
Still not massively into Elgin, but there you go.
You still not got the Elgin train yet. At this point,
no, it's another one I've missed.
It's another one I've missed. But these trains keep going past you, Alex, and eventually you'll have to catch one.
I'm paying too much attention to Yano.
Speaking of which, what a link. You're a pro. Toru Yano defeated Katsuri Shibata for the second year running. In one of the best matches of the tournament, with 1 minute and 5 seconds long, certainly the most entertaining matches of the tournament. I really enjoy this because Toriano's awesome, and he levels up the points at 4 each. Alex, your thoughts, as you linked us in so nicely.
So I went into this just thinking, please don't die, Yano. but then, so as he was sort of running and screaming from Shibata, who was like running at him with these strikes, I was in the middle of writing my note saying this, and then it ended. And I heard the bell go, I looked up and I was like, what? It's done. And yeah, I thought, did that match even last a minute? Do we know how long it was?
Official time on cage matches, 1 minute, 5 seconds.
Very close then.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it for what it was. Yeah, it's always nice to have Yano's trickery sort of
Yanoing, as I coined the phrase. Actually, Tori Yano in his younger days was actually a shoot fighter. I think he was like something like 2-4 in shoot fighting.
I was looking at him on Wikipedia earlier today, and he had an MMA fight. He lost. He lost to an armbar, but I was surprised to hear that he was sort of a very accomplished amateur wrestler before getting into pro wrestling.
It's funny that it does happen a lot. You know, Terry Funk, I was listening to that wrestling this week. Terry Funk did amateur wrestling from the age of 4. You know, he was like from elementary school, he was on the amateur wrestling team in Amarillo. You know, so interesting. But there you go. Marcus, your thoughts on Toriyano and Shibata?
Yeah, I think this was a great match. I think definitely coming out of this tournament, you know, when you get towards the end, this tournament has had some of the best short matches I've ever seen. This tournament overall, you know, delivery. And I think just, you know, that contrast of, you know, Yano kind of, you know, being more, you know, theatrical and Shibata just being all business. And Yano still, you know, pulling out that win was just, you know, it was great. It was great stuff. This match deserves every bit of the attention that it got because it was great.
I love this match. Matches you can fit into a GIF, I think, are well worth having every once in a while. Wouldn't want to live like that, but yeah. Block B, next round match was Kenny Omega versus Evil. This was an interesting one because it was like Monster Heel versus Monster Heel, and Kenny actually got a lot of crowd support in this match. For a Bullet Club guy, that's really impressive. Marcus, your thoughts?
me being a big Omega fan, this was another, you know, fun thing to watch. And Evil is just he's just probably another one of the most interesting characters going. It was a great match, you know, even though it had some you know, iffy spots here and there. I think the crowd was, like you said, was really invested in Omega, which was really cool to see, because he's just he's really a dynamic guy, but not always into the crowd. And you know, I got a shout out to Omega because it took a nasty spot on a chair.
Yeah, and sliced his back as well, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, but, you know, he held it on in the end, and that V-trigger and followed it with the one-wing angel. So, you know, I think this is another match that, you know, some people need to go back and watch.
Yeah, it definitely an interesting evening, this particular one. So, sorry, I just lost my sheet. Where are we? Okay. Alex, your thoughts on this particular matchup?
So one train I did manage to get onto was the Evil train. really, really enjoyed him. This was another really good match. Both guys were great. Just at the start with Kenny just slapping him in the face and Evil just completely no-selling it. It was really, really good. I think the thing I noticed the most throughout it was Evil's facial expressions throughout his matches are really sort of really fun to see, I guess. He just always looks so disgruntled and annoyed and just like, why am I here? I'm just going to kick the crap out of you. I'm going to win. He didn't win, but there you go. Really good, solid match.
Yeah, I think so as well. And, you know, it was both of them kept a character so well, and it was this crowd was certainly into it. It wasn't as good as some of the matches we've seen, but this show wasn't necessarily as good as some of the nights we've seen, but they've just had, you know, you've had two or three nights that were really, really critically acclaimed, so this one was bound to be a bit of an off night. And at least Kenny wasn't blowing as many spots this week as he was last week. Last week he blew spots left, right and center when he got tired, so it was nice to see him keep his consistency together. The main event of that evening was Tetsuya Naito against Tomoki Honma. A really, really good match. I really enjoyed this. Honma, as ever, as popular as anything in the New Japan regular fans, so he was going to be popular. Naito is the core heel at the minute for New Japan. He's very, very good at what he does. And that alone, because you had the fans into the match, made this a very watchable match. Alex, your thoughts?
Yeah, this was just another case of Naito just being a fantastic sort of cocky, bullying heel, just beating down the ultra-sympathetic Honma. As you said, the crowd was really into it, and it was a really good match. One thing I did sort of make a note of in this, so Naito's been doing this sort of leg submission throughout like his last few matches.
Like the short leg scissor.
Yeah. It seems to be getting quite over as sort of a near fall, but has anyone actually tapped to it yet?
Not as far as I know. You don't tend to get too many submission victories in New Japan anyway. Bizarrely, for like the shoot style roots of New Japan, everyone tends to win by pinfalls. But it is a cool submission. I do like it a lot because it's a bit different, and it reminds me of the. He's got that reverse figure four lock as well, hasn't he? Like the inverted figure four thing that he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like it.
Yeah, and so it's a good setup for that as a secondary finisher, and I think it works really, really well. And it kind of like lays back on the shoot roots of New Japan. So it strikes me as no one's really ever done it before in all the kind of like shoot style wrestling I've seen down the years. Like, it would seem obvious because it's just a development of a short arm scissor, isn't it? You know, a Kimura lock. You know,
yeah,
so.
But it looks like it would actually really hurt.
Yeah.
So that always helps.
Yes, it looks like it's a good wear down hold, a good breaking down hold, and yeah, so strange. Interesting point on techniques and stuff. Senor Arriato put a GIF out this week of someone doing a rolling arm bar, like Zack Sabre Jr.'s rolling arm bar, Mako Satomura's rolling arm bar, and it was Ken Joyce, the old World of Sport referee in his wrestling days. He was the first. He's the earliest person I've ever seen do it, and it was against Steve Gray, and it must have been the mid-1970s. So there you go.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is interesting, yes. I'm going to have to look up some Steve Gray versus Ken Joyce now. But moving back into today, Marcus, your thoughts on this main event?
Yeah, I thought it was a cool main event. That's very much agree with Alex, with Naito being very much the cocky, you know, bully that nonchalant guy that he's just massive being at this point. But he really turns it up, like I said before, when he steps in between those ropes, and it's really cool that Alex pointed out that submission. That's also something I noticed, and it's cool to see, you know, these wrestlers just add little stuff to their game because, you know, normally we see, you know, he's very, you know, going for that destino, but which, of course, he won with, but it's always cool to see them add those little nuances, if you will, to their game. With Hanma, I guess I'm kind of like Alex is with Elgin. I haven't necessarily got on that train yet, just because I just worry about the guy's head so damn much. But you know, like you said, he's getting a lot of, you know, he's really high with the crowd, especially. It's cool to see, you know, the kind of tournament he's having as opposed to last year where it was complete opposite. So in that regard, it was cool for him, but obviously, you know, Naito got the win, and I'm more of a fan of Naito slowly but surely getting into, you know, that cocky I don't, you know, screw all this type of guy.
Are you a Los Ignorables kind of guy then?
Slowly. I think it depends on the characters, but I guess so, because I'm getting behind Sonata too, so
yeah. That's really cool. Okay, then we'll move on to night 11, which was Kagoshima at Kagoshima Arena, 3,200. There's been good numbers for this tour. You know, they've played to more than 2,000 every night. You know, if you imagine going on, you know, WWE do numbers that are probably comparable to that, probably a little bit bigger than that, I would think. But certainly, you know, these are shows where everything matters and everything's a pay-per-view. You know, if you imagine, like, the entire WWE schedule was a pay-per-view for a month. Or pay-per-view.
Well, we're getting close to that now, aren't we?
We are getting close to that now, yeah. It's getting to that point, really. They're not going to have time to do house shows anymore, are they?
It doesn't look like it. I don't know how they will.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a question for someone else to answer on a different podcast.
Let's go over to the squash for that one.
Yes, Paul and Gavin can do that. There you go. let's see. Block A, it was Bad Luck Fale and Hiroshi Tenzan in the opener. Big bruisers thumping each other for 8 minutes and 22 seconds. Fale won, I think, with a grenade. Interesting matchup. Nothing particularly spectacular, I don't think, Alex?
No, not really. Just Fale, the dream killer, strikes again. ruining the Tenzan story. I think the most notable thing to come out of it is that Kojima has been one of the MVPs of Tenzan's matches so far. On the outside, just his reactions are really, really just, they're great, and they really sort of get you into the match.
Yeah, no, I agree. Much the same as Gedo is for Okada. I'll talk about that later, because in this match he did something that was just absolutely brilliant. But yeah, so what did you think, Marcus, on this particular matchup?
Yeah, it's, I gotta perfectly agree with you. Just two big guys just thumping away at each other. nothing spectacular. Kind of what you expect, especially what, back to what you might expect from Fale. And, it would have been cool to see, Tenzin go out to win because he's got the great story going into the tournament. But, this kind of knocks him, down real, seriously to almost being eliminated. So, I would have preferred the alternative, but, we got what we got. So.
Yeah. Okay, then we'll move on to Goto and Tonga. Hirooki Goto defeats Tama Tonga, which probably was to be expected, to take 6 points to 4 points in 12 minutes and 29 seconds. Again, a bit of a kind of nuts and bolts match. It did what it needed to do. But again, Tonga showing some signs of life and showing some signs of some enthusiasm for his work, which hasn't been there for a lot of this year. And Goto doing some really cool things, as he normally does. But has he really got out? Has his train got out the station? Yes, Alex, is our public transport synonyms go forward.
I couldn't really tell you. This match was okay. I thought the end was cool, the sort of double counter of the gun stun. But yeah, it was just a match. It was good.
Yeah, it'll do. Really.
It was there.
Marcus, anything you'd like to add on this one?
Yeah, much the same. Like I said before, it's been cool saying exactly what, Tonga's kind of, elevate his game and try to really show himself to be a singles guy coming out, out of this tournament. But, this was kind of your run-of-the-mill middle match, much like you guys said, nothing too special, but it was there, so.
And then we moved on to something that was a bit more special. Naichi Marufuji versus Sanada. I really enjoyed this match. And Sanada, again, upping his game for a main event guy and really trying to hang with him. For a guy who's got so much experience, Marufuji, a lot of younger wrestlers look at him in awe, but Sanada is not starstruck in any way, shape, or form. He did an amazing job with this match. Absolutely loved the fact that he wore his T-shirt just to deflect Marufuji's chops and then challenged him to give him more chops when he took his T-shirt off. That was a nice little bit of grandstanding. I like that a lot. Marcus, your thoughts?
I'm perfectly in agreement with you. This is probably one of my favorite matches on the show. Just because of the styles that these guys bring. Like I said, I'm really getting behind Sanada. Like I said, it's a complete, almost feel like a 360 from what, last time I saw him in TNA. So, show a lot of athleticism and like you said, wearing that shirt to, block the chops. But yeah, that's kind of, once that shirt came off, in the end, he kind of just fell victim to, the strikes and the chops and the stiff kicks from, Marufuji. But, I thought it was another great showing and losing for Sanada, and obviously Marufuji's just been having great matches throughout, so I really liked it.
Alex, what did you think of this one?
I thought it was, like you both said, good match. It seems to be a running theme with Los Ingobernables that I'm noticing their facial expressions a lot more. I thought Sanada in this match with that sort of just cold, expressionless face after hitting these really sort of impressive drop kicks and leapfrogs and all this sort of stuff, and he just stares into the camera, just no expression at all. I think it shows sort of more personality and character than actually having a facial expression would, which is weird to say, but it really works for him.
No, Chelsea mentioned this when we was talking about Bushi a couple of months ago, when Bushi challenged for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against Kushida. And she described it as Bushi seems to have more facial expressions than some guys that don't have masks.
I can see that. Definitely.
Yeah, and I think all of the guys in Los Ignorables, they seem to have mastered how to use their eyes to convey emotion. Which is a remarkable thing. I don't know if New Japan Dojo has been popping for acting classes, but they're certainly doing an awful lot with not an awful lot of expression, but they certainly, they look like the cold, dead killers they're supposed to be portraying. All of them do.
Mm. Well, we know that Gedo is sort of a fan of that old school Memphis wrestling, so maybe that's where a lot of the sort of character stuff's coming in.
Yeah, I mean, Gedo just loves so much wrestling of everywhere, ever. It's just such an encyclopedic knowledge of wrestling. I don't know where he's dug these characters up from. He's obviously got inspired by watching the Mexican original faction and then gone, now what can I do with this? Right then, we'll move on to Tanahashi and Ishii in an absolute barn burner. Tana, I cannot say enough about this match. Absolutely loved it. Maybe my match of the tournament so far. And I knew it would be good, but I didn't think it would be this good. Ishii coming so close so many times, but Tanahashi taking the win, 6 points over to Ishii's 4. And this, we talked about main events for Wrestle Kingdom. I'd watch this as a main event for Wrestle Kingdom any year. This was fantastic. Alex, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, same. I thought this was amazing. I think this match had some of the most convincing near falls I may have ever seen. Like, especially the one after Ishii hit the sliding D. I was actually on the edge of my seat watching it. It was really, really great stuff. Just so much drama in the match. Yeah, I'm lost for words. I can't even put it into words how much I enjoyed this. And sort of seeing a bit of heel Tanahashi is always fun as well.
Yeah, it brings it out every once in a while when he needs to. Marcus, what's your thoughts on this bout?
Yeah, like I said before, the previous match was probably my favorite in terms of just styling, because I'm more of a fan of that type of style of match. But there's just no denying how great this match was, and Ishii is just that tough bulldog, and just like I said, the story coming in with Tanahashi kind of get back into his groove, and I think he's very much back into his groove after this bout, because Ishii is just a guy that you have to put away. And, yeah, and it's always interesting watching Tanahashi, because sometimes he throws me off with the way he does his hair. So it is interesting because that came into play in this match.
Yeah,
is she trying to rip it out? So, like you said, it was a barn burner. It's hard fought, and like I said, Ishii is just that wall that you run into sometimes, and Hashi really kind of broke through and put him away with them two high fly flows. So.
Yeah, just so many bits, just like Tanahashi trying to headbutt Ishii, and Ishii just standing there with a look on his face like, what are you doing? Don't be stupid. But so it was just brilliant match. Okada versus Makabe, had to have a hard time following that, though. I actually think Makabe upped his game for this match. He was in there with Okada. They haven't wrestled each other too often, and this was a fresh matchup I really enjoyed, even though it maybe wasn't going to be as good as Tanahashi versus Ishii, just because it wasn't going to be Tanahashi versus Ishii. I thought this worked well. Marcus, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I thought it was a good match. It's always interesting. Like I said, I think Makabe turning his game up really, a lot of times depends on his opponent. So, like you said, it was interesting to see him kind of kick it into gear. But coming off those two matches, especially the one before it, I was kind of, they would have had to do a lot more stuff to kind of, get me out of my chair. But I thought it was a solid ending, and obviously Okada got the win. So I thought it was a good match, though.
As you missed the Makabe train, were you into this one at all, Alex?
I was more into this than I expected to be. I went into it sort of thinking, there's no way that Okada's going to lose. But then I thought back to the start of the tournament. I was like, actually, the way they've been booking Makabe, maybe it could happen. It was definitely hard to follow what came before it. But I thought this match was actually, it was pretty good. I really enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think it was a nice surprise of the tournament so far, especially as Makabe has been so dominant in the previous kind of like sequences of the matches, and then Chink started to appear in his armor, and he loses a couple this week. So interesting, certainly. And then the last match, the last night that we're going to review today, which was the 4th of August, which was Friday. Sorry, 4th of August, which was Thursday. There was matches today on the 6th of August, but we're going to leave them till next week because we haven't actually had a chance to watch them yet. So with this, we'll go out on Monday. There will be some matches on the 6th, and there will be some matches on the where are we? Matches on the 7th as well. So we'll cover those in next week's show. But we'll start here with Toru Yano versus Yuji Nagata in a count-out victory for Yano. The first count-out victory of the tournament. Still 2 points. It counts. Where Yano actually taped Nagata's ankles together to make sure he couldn't get back to the ring. Genius maneuver. Doesn't work very often very well. Alex, what are your thoughts on this one?
Match of the tournament.
It was
great. It was one of the most sort of creative ends to a match I've seen in a long time. The only other time I can think of something even sort of similar is that John Cena-Batista last man standing match.
Yeah.
where Batista got sort of taped to the ring post. I thought this was hilarious. And the look on Nagata's face after the match, just looking so confused and bewildered, just sort of like, what just happened? Like, how did I, what? Is the match over? He had no idea what was going on. He even sort of, he started to walk up the ramp and then realized, wait a minute, no, where am I? And sort of turned around to walk back through sort of like the loser's exit. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, you've got to sell these things as well, particularly well. It does take two to tango. It did remind me actually of a tag match that Yano and Iizuka had against the Gracie cousins in 2013. Where they handcuffed one of the Gracies to the rail and just beat the other one up. Basically, because the Gracies aren't that good at wrestlers and they had to figure out a way, what the hell are we going to do with these two lumps?
Yeah, I think I remember some of those matches with the Gracies and that was probably up there among them.
Yes, let's just handcuff one to the rail and we can just work on one. It might make your life easier for us. That was Marcus, your thoughts on this 4 minutes and 22 seconds of joy?
Yeah, man, Yano, you know, shenanigans went out again. Like I said before, I wasn't necessarily that into this guy come before this tournament, but he's been damn entertaining throughout. And he's really making a name for himself in terms of these short but highly entertaining bouts against these just no nonsense competitors, especially somebody like Nagata. So again, much like what he did with in his previous bout, Jabata, it's just don't count this guy out at all.
So just for those of you keeping count, Alex is off the Makabe train, but he's on the Yano train, but he's off the Elgin train. Am I right, Alex?
That's right.
And
about to come up to again.
Marcus is on the Yano train and on the Nakajima train. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then. Just making sure we know which trains we're on. Michael Elgin defeated Yoshihanetsu in 9 minutes and 49 seconds in a match that was all right. Elgin doing his Elgin-y thing, really, and Yoshihashi again being very, very popular, but nothing I particularly would want to write home about. It was all right. It did the job, I would say. Marcus, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it was straight up and down usual fare for both of these guys. Like you said, Elgin being Elgin, superhuman stuff he tries to do and stuff, and obviously, you know, what he does in the end to Buckle Bomb and the Elgin Bomb and stuff. So I thought it was straight up and down, solid match, not as fun as the match before it, but it did its job.
Alex, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it was fine. Same as you said, like it was a match, it was good. Nothing too special.
No one's asking for the money back, it was all right, yeah. Okay, then Evil then defeated Tomoko Honma to even them up on points, 9 minutes and 49 seconds. This was really cool. I thought this was all right. Again, kind of Honma's a one gear guy, like Roddy Piper used to be a one gear guy. He's kind of in that mold. He only does really one thing, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Evil has enough variation to make it work, so I thought this was okay. Alex, what did you think?
Yeah, same. I thought it was good. I went in sort of wanting both to win. Just because Evil was he was at the bottom of the group at this point, and so I wanted him to get a win, but then Homma Mania is always running wild. I'm definitely on that Homma train. it was a good match, and I'm glad that Evil got the win in the end.
Cool. Okay, then. Marcus, you haven't talked about this one, have you? So Evil and Honma, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, once again, I end up falling on Evil just because, like you said, Hama's kind of that one-gear guy, and it's like, you know, it's hard for me to get into it just because I already know what's, you know, going to happen. So, but, you know, Evil's been a guy who's another guy who's been surprising in the tournament. He obviously picked up the win, so... Yeah, not on the Honma train yet.
Not on the Honma train yet. Okay, I was just going to make sure we know which trains we're on. Right then, so Katsushiro Shibata defeated Kenny Omega in a pretty good match, 12 minutes and 28 seconds. Omega able to do his Omega thing, and his heelish ways were shining through. I thought this was okay. I thought this was pretty good, and certainly Shibata needed the win to bring him back up in points again after the loss to Toriano. Marcus, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Obviously, Omega, you know, having easy targets with the shoulder and the knee, which I think was, you know, bothering Shibata in this match. And the cool spot where, you know, Shibata came back and counted that one-wing angel to that arm lock submission on his shoulders. That was really cool. So, you know, I really liked it.
Okay, then. Alex, what were your thoughts on this one?
It's been interesting to watch Omega throughout this tournament. He's sort of slowly gotten more and more serious as it's gone on. And this was a match where there weren't really any shenanigans from him. It was just all serious action, and I enjoyed it. It was a bit weird seeing Shibata play the sort of the underdog in there, even though he's sort of the never champion. I'm wondering if maybe the story is that because he's sort of had a bit of a mediocre run where he's sort of 3-3 at this point, or when he wins this even, he's at 3-3, sorry. I'm wondering if the story is that he sort of lost his confidence a bit, and therefore he's sort of playing the underdog a bit more. But no, it was really good match, I thought. I thought both guys did well. There was one bit where Kenny hit a knee and Shibata sort of sold it by doing sort of a flash knockout thing where he just fell to the floor and then sat up looking like completely out of it, which I thought was really good. Overall good stuff. One of Kenny's best matches of the tournament so far.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. I think Kenny's been... he's not been on it every night. And when you get into this level, you do need to be on it every night. And not that he's had bad matches. He's had some classics, but he's had some nights where he's just blown spots. That match with Honma wasn't very good at all, really. Mm. So we'll see how he improves over the next week. And then the main event, Tetsuya Naito defeated Katsushika Nakajima to take the lead in Group B. 8-6. Nakajima just so good, and so good in this match. I was so impressed with him. I had to like rewatch this match because I kept getting distracted by a conversation on Twitter. And it was like, right, I'm going to stop this conversation because I'm going to watch this match. I started it again, and it was just so good. So impressed with this match. 8.25 on the cage match. Inmates recommended, and I agree with them. Alex, what did you think?
Yeah, same. I thought it was really good. It was interesting to see Naito play more of the baby face in this. It was I guess like the last match, it was sort of reversing the roles of the person you thought would be more of the heel playing more of the baby face, and it sort of adds into that sort of Nakajima being the sort of outsider heel throughout. I thought it was a really good match, and yeah, I can't really think of anything else to say. It's just really good stuff.
Marcus?
Yeah, must watch match. You know, very much agree with, you know, everything Alex said. And when you're going against one of the best kickers in Japanese wrestling, I go for the legs too. So, yeah, that was real cool to see. But obviously, you know, wouldn't stay down for long. Definitely kicked him, you know, pillar to post. And yeah, it's always cool seeing how Naito can kind of hit that destino out of nowhere, if you will. So, you know, I liked it. This match of the night.
Yeah, I think so too. It was exceptional. Another week's exceptional wrestling. Now, we have got shows this week. Today, we have matches that we will look at next week on the 6th of August. Obviously, that's the day we're recording today. I'm going to pick some out from later because I don't want to see the results tonight, so I want to look at it and not, like, you know, spoiler myself. So the 7th, that's Sunday. Some standout matches on Sunday. Eel versus Tetsuya Naito. That should be interesting. Nakajima versus Honma could be an interesting clash of styles. I'm looking forward to that, especially as Honma will be very popular and Nakajima is the outsider. On the 8th, that's on Monday, we have a Block A night, which has Hiroshi Tenzan versus Hiroshi Tanahashi as the main event, which should be something special. Sanada versus Tomohiro Ishii, I'm looking forward to that one. Namichi Marufuji versus Tama Tonga as well. That should be a good, interesting matchup. And then on the 10th, which is we will probably fit this in for next week's show. Tetsuya Naito versus Yoshihashi, proper heel versus proper face. That should be interesting. Shibata versus Nagata. Kicks are plenty, and a rematch from earlier in the year over the Never Openweight Championship, and Nakajima versus Omega, which will be something special. Also on the 12th, which will be probably the last chance we will get to speak about that before we get to the show, will be Tanahashi Okada, the biggest match of the tournament, I would hazard to say, but also some big matches on that night: Tenzan versus Sanada, Ishii versus Makabe, and Bad Luck Fale versus Tama Tonga, Bullet Club versus Bullet Club. So that should be interesting. We should just look at the point standing before we close the show. So looking at leading Block A now is Kazuchika Okada on 10 points, with Togi Makabe snapping at his heels, and Naomichi Marufuji both on 8 points. Your thoughts on Block A, Marcus? Who do you think is going to win it at this point?
Ah, doggone Sonata. Why? But, yeah, at this point, obviously, you know, you got Okada in the lead. But I could very much see Marufuji kind of coming back. But I think in the end, it's going to end up coming down to Okada.
You think Okada? Alex, what about you?
I'm sticking with my prediction from before that it's going to come down to that Tanahashi Okada match. And I think the winner will be decided there. I think it will be Tanahashi that gets it. So yeah, I think it will be Tanahashi winning this block. I'm not sure how they'll do that match. Like, they've done some fantastic matches in the past. I'm just not sure what new stuff they can give us hasn't already been done.
Eighth time round on pay-per-view, I think.
Yeah. Like, they're destined to do this forever.
It's getting a bit ridiculous, but I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a fantastic match. That's a given, but yeah, I think Tanahashi's got it.
Yeah, fight forever. We may make you. Block B is led by Tetsuya Naito, El Los Ignorables. Margot Elgin is joint first and 8 points. Nakajima and Nagata, Hashi, Omega, and Yano all on 6 points. And Shibata on 6 points. I'll do that list again. So you have Nakajima, Nagata, Hashi, Omega, Yano, and Shibata are all on 6 points, with apparently Honma and Evil out of the running, but we've still got quite a few cards left to go. Alex, what do you think of this block? Who's going to win this? Though it's looking like Naito at the moment.
I wish it was Shibata, but I think it's going to be Naito.
Why do you wish Shibata? You just want to see him established in that kind of company?
Yeah, I think, well, I'm a big, big Shibata fan, and I think, like you were saying earlier, he's paid his dues coming back into the company now, and I think it's time to give him that sort of big push. I would have liked to see him do a lot better in this tournament. I mean, I guess there's still time. He's still got a chance. I don't think he's eliminated yet. No. But yeah, I think in the end it's going to be Naito in there with the match against Tanahashi. I believe that's the rematch from the G1 2 years ago, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, Tanahashi and Naito. That'd be interesting to see. Which of course was the catalyst for Los Ignorables altogether. You know, Naito wins that tournament, goes to Wrestle Kingdom, and the fans turn on him. So, we'll see what happens there. Marcus, your thoughts on Block B? Who do you think is going to win this one?
Yeah, very competitive block, but I think, like you said, just kind of coming out of that because of you know, what happened with Naito, obviously, the whole reasoning behind what we're getting from him now. I think he's just got, you know, some approval more so from himself this time around than, you know, for the crowd, just because of how things went. So, like I said, it's very competitive, and obviously got Elgin at the top, but I think in the end, it's going to, you know, come down to, you know, Captain Destino. So
We'll see what happens there, and it's going to be a great week's wrestling again. Next week, we'll be talking to... Next week, I'm not sure who the guests are going to be, because it all depends on whose schedules and who's free. So if you're missing Alex and Chelsea, that's the reason why they're not here this week. But I'd like to thank Marcus and Alex for joining me. So Marcus Green, you are at Paradox Kid, are you not, sir?
Yes, sir.
On Twitter, if you want to talk to Marcus about New Japan Pro Wrestling or TNA or WWE or any wrestling, really, because you like most wrestling, don't you?
Yes, sir.
There you go. And Alex Edwards, I always get yours wrong. Is it Alex_Edwards_?
It is, because unfortunately just Alex Edwards or Alex _ Edwards are taken, and so that extra underscore has to be in there at the end.
Oh, it happens to the best of us, I'm afraid. So there you go. So that's Alex, and you can talk to him about any pro wrestling, really. I think you like all of it, don't you?
Come talk to me about anything in the world.
There you go. Such an open invitation and such a welcoming man. And we appreciate your input into the Troopenny Show and the G1 Climax tournament coverage, Alex.
Well, thank you very much.
That's okay. This has been our show for today. Please listen to the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. You can listen to The Squash with Gavin Duenas and Paul Taylor this week. It'll be Gavin Duenas and Paul, me, next week, actually. But we haven't decided what we're talking about yet. We'll see what happens, but it should be cool. You also listen to the Finn Martin Report, which is out on Sundays, and it's a Finn Martin Report weekend this Sunday. So if you did missed it yesterday, go back in the SoundCloud list and you'll find it there. You can follow us there. You can find us on Wrestle Plus, of course, $4.99 a month. A fantastic service with all the streaming services that WrestleTalk has to offer. That's our show. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.